Today's Shir's Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Daled. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Daled Amar Aleph, the second line. The Mishnah taught us Lo Sochak Mi Erev Shabbos. If somebody didn't prepare the cumin from Erev Shabbos, he shouldn't grind it on Shabbos even after the bris milah. He should just chew it with his teeth. Tana Rabbanan. So says the Gemara. Dvarim Shein Oysel Milah B'Shabbos. Well, may not be done because of the bris milah on Shabbos, as we just discussed, El B'Shinui, it may be done with a Shinui. Oysen B'Yontif, on Yontif, we could do it without any Shinui. Shachin K'loi Kamen, we could grind the cumin, V'tarfen L'Yayim V'Shemen, and we can mix the oil and wine, which were a refuah for somebody, for a child that just had a bris milah. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, Ma'ishna Kamen B'Yontif, why are we allowing the grinding of the kamen and yontif? The kazil chadera, it could be used for a spice. And since it could be used for a spice on yontif, it's not considered a melacha when you grind it for the bris milah. Ask the Gemara, yayin v'shemen chazinami b'shabbos l'chayla. Why are we saying that on Shabbos we're not allowed to mix the wine and the oil? A chaylish aim by sakana, which as we've discussed extensively previously in our masachta, we could give medicine to such a chayla, and giving medicine to such a chayla is mixing wine and oil. And as the Rishash explains, the Gemara we're going to discuss in masachta Pesachim teaches us that we're allowed to do melacha if it's a situation that I would need it in a permissible manner. The Gemara always calls that hoyle. But the Gemara says that the fact that I may be able to do something because I would have a hoyle shiyesh by sakana, I don't say hoyle. Because if we're going to apply the concept of hoyle under those circumstances, then everything will be mutter, because we could always, because for hoyle shiyesh by sakana, we're allowed to do everything. But Tosfos Masechet Pesachim teaches us that we don't say Hoyle under that circumstances, because a Hoyle of Shiyesh by Sakana is not considered something that we should expect should happen, that we should apply the concept of Hoyle. However, Yayin v'Shemen that are mixed together are not mixed together for Hoyle of Shiyesh by Sakana. They're even mixed together, as we explained, for Hoyle of She'ein by Sakana. A Hoyle of She'ein by Sakana is unfortunately something which is common. And therefore, since it's common that would happen, we'll have to mix the oil and wine for him. If we'll have to mix the oil and wine for him on Shabbos, so why is it also to do it for somebody who just had a milah? The Tanya, ain't tarfin yayin v'shem l'chayil b'Shabbos. Tanya Kam says we may not mix oil and wine for chayil Shabbos. Amar of Shim ben Elazar m'Shim Rameya, af tarfin. Tarfin Yayin V'Shemen. We may mix oil and wine for the Schoyla. And in fact, says the Gemara, Amar of Shim ben Elazar, Pam Achash Choshar Belezer Remei B'Meyov. Once Remei wasn't feeling well, he had intestinal issues. Or Be'kashn L'Rev Layin V'Shemen. And we wanted to mix for him oil and wine. V'Lohi Nechonu. And he did not let us. Amranu Loi. So we asked him, D'Varecha Yibotlu B'Chayecha. You're the man, the Amar, that said that you may do this. Amalanu, so he told us, Api she'ani oy mekach, even though I hold one may mix wine and oil in Shabbos, v'chaveirei oy mekach, my colleagues disagree, miyomai lo milani libi lebal davar chaveirei. I know, even though I pask in a certain way, and I certainly obviously believe that it's mutter, still, I never went against what my colleagues said. And the Meiri explains that if a Talmud Chacham disagrees with other Rabbonim, he shouldn't be makel according to his own opinion. And he explains why. He shouldn't, because people should not assume that the reason he was makel was because it applied to him. So he shows that when it applies to me myself, I'm not lenient. It must be that when I am lenient, it's because I truly feel that that's the halacha. Who Nihu, and as we just explained, he was Machma Nafshe. He was Machma Avul Kula Amishari. So why can't we mix oil and wine for the child who had the bris milah, since there may be a for Chayla Sheim by Sakana, we're allowed to mix it. So we should be able to mix it for that purpose. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Loiboy Leka. When you have a Chayla Sheim by Sakana, yes, he needs the swine and oil, but it doesn't need to be mixed well. Hacha, when you have a milah by Lika, it has to be mixed well. Says the Gemara, Hachinami. So ask the Gemara, so why better Mila shouldn't we be allowed to do that? Navit, let's put on the wine and oil, and not mix it. Says the Gemara, absolutely. Hainu d'tari. That's exactly what the Mishnah said. Nois and Zebef Neatzmai, Zebef Neatzmai, we should put each one individually. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. We can't mix them, because mixing them is not necessary for the Chayil She'en by Sakana. And putting each one on individually is indeed permitted. Tan Rabbanan, ein mesanenin ezachar dlo b'mesanen eshaloi. We're not allowed to strain the mustard through its own strainer on Yontif. Furthermore, ve'imat bikin oisoi b'gachelis. The mustard was very sharp. In order to make it more palatable, they used to put a burning coal inside a mound of mustard seeds. Then when the coal became extinguished, But the issue is that you're not allowed to extinguish something on Yontif. So says the Bryce again, Tana Abonin, Eim Mesananin Esachadl B'Mesanashanloi. We're not allowed to take the mustard through its strainer, because even though, as the Rishonim explain, it's not considered, Taisus the Ramaskal Hocha, says it's not Boiru Daraisa, it's only Boiru Darabonin, because it's really all just mustard, but it's still Boiru Darabonin. And therefore, one may not do so on Shabbos or Yontif. Similarly, and the question, of course, is, why are you not allowed to do it on Yontif? So the answer is, the Tosfos in Masechta Megillah teaches us that only something that would be preferable if it was done on Yontif may be done on Yontif. But if here, straining the mustard, there's nothing to be gained by doing it on Yontif, you could just as well do it on Erev Yontif. The halacha is, you have to do it on Erev Yontif. And that's the way the Ramah Paskins in Eirachayim Simen Tov Tzadik Hei Sif Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch says that when something is mutter l'tzayruch eichel nefesh, we don't have to take in consideration, well, I could have done it on Erev Yontif, why are you doing it on Yontif? But the Shulchan Aruch has a different concern, which is what the Ramban holds is the issue. The issue is typically when they strained mustard seeds, they didn't strain many mustard, they strained it for many days. When we're allowed to do Oichel Nefesh on Yontif, we're only allowed to do what's necessary for today. Straining it for more than one day is certainly usur. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, anything which is typically done in a large amount is usur to be done on Yontif. And the simile we learned, Emat Bakken Oysab Gechelis, we can't put the coal inside the mustard because it's a concern of kibui. Omle Abayel Reb Yosef, Maishno, why is this any different? Mihad the Tanan, from Mishnah we're going to learn later in our Masechta, Noisna Beibe Masanena Shel Chartel, we're allowed to put an egg into the strainer that's used for mustard in order to improve the mustard's appearance. So we see that why we allowed to put it through the strainer. Why is there no concern for Beirer? Omer, Hossam Lai Mechzika Beirer. Hacha Mechzika Beirer. When we put mustard seed through a sieve, it looks like Beirer because not everything goes through the sieve. However, here, the entire egg goes through the sieve. So Beirer is always the definition of separating. Here, we're not separating. Another pshat is that by an egg, everything is edible. the white of the egg and the yellow of the egg are all edible. So there's not everything is oichel. Since everything is oichel, there is no boirer. By mustard seeds, there are some impurities, and since there are some impurities, it may be more of an act of boirer. We learned further in the brayse that we just discussed. Veim amtikin oisei begecheles. We can't put the a coal inside in the mustard seed. Ask the Gemara. Vatanya mamtikin oisei begecheles. The brayse says that we may do so. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Can the brayse says that we may do so begecheles shamatris with a metal coal, and a metal coal doesn't leave a charcoal, and since it doesn't leave a charcoal, then it's not considered a maisa kibui. The kambachel shalates, we ask when we have a wood coal, a charcoal made out of wood, where there's a charcoal left. Amalei Baal Rabbi Yosef, maishna, why is this different? Why can't we put a charcoal, a wood charcoal, into the mustard? Mibusra gumri, they used to certainly roast meat over coals on Yontif, even though the juice that drips out of the meat extinguishes the coal. Amma, Leis, Rabbi Yosef responded, Hossam, there's no other way to roast meat on Yontif. And roasted meat, as we just explained, is eaten when it's fresh. So that's why, L'tzorich Eichel Nefesh, they allowed them to roast the meat on Yontif itself. Hochab, as we explained, when we spoke about the mustard, it could have been prepared just as well from Erev Yontif, so therefore we don't have a right to do it on Yontif. It's interesting, the Prima Godim makes a very interesting this point. He says, Algemar says that we're allowed to use a metal coal for this mustard processing because of Simchas Yontif. He asks that even if we're using a coal made out of wood, it's a Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. And we paskin like Rav Shimon that a Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is also not also on Shabbos. So why do we differentiate? So he answers that a concept that we've discussed previously, that not all the Rabbanans are the same. And even though we're more lenient by kibui, where we're not going to have a coal, even though it's Issad Rabbanon, we're not going to be lenient by Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufo, even though both are also Issuri de Rabbanon. Says the Gemara further, Amalei Baal Rabbi Yosef, Mal Gabin, are we allowed to make cheese on Yontif? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef said, Osir. So he says, Maishna Malisha, why is it any different than kneading dough that's mutter on Yontif? Amalei Hasam Loy Efshir. Fresh bread is better. Fresh cake is better. And therefore, we want to have fresh bread and cake, and we're allowed to do so on Yontif. Hacha, but when we speak about cheese, it could have just as well been made Erev Yontif, and everything that could be made in Erev Yontif, we shouldn't do a Yontif. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that cheese, it doesn't make a difference if it's old or young. V'amar Nadoi, didn't Adoy teach us that Gvina Bas Yoyim Ma'alya, one day old cheese is good, is delicious? Says Marhokkam, what Nadoi meant to teach us was that Filo Gvina Bas Yoyim, even if it's just one day old, Ma'alya it's good. But certainly old cheese is even better. And therefore, since old cheese is even better, certainly we should do. If we don't have to do it on Yontif, we shouldn't do it on Yontif. So the Ritva explains that this discussion, that something that could be done just as well on Erev Yontif can be done on Yontif, is only Issa de Rabbanon. But the Raisa, since the Torah teaches us that Oichel Nefesh is mutter, it's mutter on the all circumstances. The Ramban says that the reason Chazal were machmer on doing these different activities on Yontif, even though Eichel Nefesh is mutter on Yontif, because they're all in the category of Uvda Dechol. Says the Gemara further, Ein Oisin Lechaluk, we learned in the Mishnah that the child who had the bris, we're not allowed to make for him the bandage they put on top of the Aver. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Amar Li Ein. Abaye says, my nurse taught me. Hai Chalak Di Nukka. The hem, left in the Sitri Loi, the hem of this bandage should be turned upward. It should be so that the loose threads should be on the outside of the bandage, because we don't want any of those loose threads touching the place where there is a wound. Dilma Midbi Gardimine, because we're concerned that a thread will stick to the wound. Vasta de Kroshivcha, and if there'll be a cut there, it could have serious ramifications. Even the Abaya, Abaya's mother, Avda Kisasol Lepalga, she would make herself a bandage, a lining for the bandage, again, to make sure that there were no threads sticking into that place where the cut was made. Omar Abaya, Hayanuka de Lesle Chaluk, a child that they don't have a bandage for, Lysa Belisa Disle Sifsa, bring a rag that has a hem, Lichrik Le Sifsa Le Tatoi, and tie the hem around at the bottom, Vaylef Le Loi, and then double it up again. Use it as a band-aid, but be very careful not to put the strands near the cut. If there's a child who we can't identify its rectum, lashva mishva, we should smear oil in that area, and face him against the sun, and where the skin then appears the transparent, take a barley which is sharp and cut it up and down. Don't use a metal instrument. That could cause infection. It could cause inflammation. You have a child that's not nursing. Make it the karpame. The reason it's happening is because its mouth is cold. My takante, what should be done? Lysa kase gumri, bring a cup of burning coals. Velinte lahade pume, and put it near the infant's mouth. The chayim pume, its mouth will become warm, and mayitz, and then it will be able to nurse. So the Sefer Ben Yoyada explains this Gemara Pidrush homiletically. He says that if you hayinuka, if you have a child that loy mayitz, that isn't sucking, isn't absorbing what he's learning. What should you do, suggest the Gemara, to make that this child should succeed in learning? Says the Gemara, bring something that's warm. Laisa kasa gumri. Learn with a geschmack. Learn with a varmkeit. Learn that the child should want to learn, that it should be exciting to learn. And then the child will become successful in his learning. If you have a child that has difficulty breathing, fan him with a fan, or and then he'll be able to breathe. A child who doesn't breathe easily, bring the mother's afterbirth, and slide it over his body, or mave, and then he'll be able to breathe better. By Amrli Aim, Hayanuka de Cotton. If you have a child who's not developing, Lysel Sulta de Ime, bring his mother's afterbirth, Velishka Elai Mikutna Looma, and slide it over his body from the narrow end to the wide end. The way it comes out of the mother's body, it's narrow at one side and wide at the other. V'olam, and if on the other hand the child is too heavy, then Jews do it the opposite direction, mi'om l'katna, from the wide side down to the narrow side. Vamar Abaya, Amrlei Aim, Hayanuka de Somik. If you have a child who's very red, the kati lo ivle beidoma, the blood has not gotten absorbed into his body. Lirsechu, let us wait ad ivle beidoma, until the blood is absorbed into the body, v'lemilei, and then we should make the bris milah. The yorik, and if the child is yellow, and it's because the blood is deficient, we should wait until the blood is proper in the body, and then we should do the bris milah. The Tanya, because The Gemara tells us, in fact, such an episode. Amar Reb Nosson, Pamachas halachta l'karche yam. One time I went to one of the towns, in the sea towns, one of the islands, Obas Ishul Fanai, and there was a woman that came to see me, Shabala Benar Risha Vemes. She did a bris mila on her first child, and he passed away. Sheni on the second child, Omes, and he passed away. Shlishi, the third child, Heviyasi Lefanai, was brought to me. Re'isiv, and I saw Shu Edoim, that he's red. Amatilo, I told him, Tini ad sheyivle by domai, wait until the child's blood gets completely absorbed in the system. Himtinaloi, and indeed they waited, ad sheyivle by domai, until that happened. Umala I saw, and she did a bris mila for him, v'chaya, and he lived. V'ikarin I saw, and they gave him a name, Nosna Bavli al Shmoi, and Nosna Bavli on mine, for me, because I had done this, I gave them this proper advice. Similarly, says the Gemara, Shem Pamach Salach Lamdinis Kaputkia. The Gemara says he once went to Kaputkia, Abasa Aish Achs Lefanai, and there was a woman that came to see me, Shemola Benar Rishav Emes. She did a bris mila on her first child, and he passed away. Sheni Emes, Shlishi Havisoy Lefanai. The third child was brought to me. Risi Sheyork, I saw that he was yellow. Hitzatzdi Boy, and I looked at him. Valerisi Boy Dan Bris, and I saw that they did not make a bris. Omatilo, and I told her, you did the right thing. And Hemtinaloi, wait at Shiyipa Boy Domai, until the blood gets absorbed in the system. Hemtinalo, and they waited. Omaloi Savachaya. And then they did the bris, and he survived. But from here we see this is the makar that when a child is yellow, we don't make a bris mila until he comes to the right shade. The question that Paiskim discuss is if a child was yellow and they didn't make the bris mila, now the question is, when he becomes fine, when is the halacha that we make the bris? Do we wait to make the bris until 7 days after he gets better? Or do we make the bris immediately as soon as he gets better? Because the Paiskim say that if a child is chas v'shalom sick, there it's clear the Shulchan Aruch says that we should wait 7 days after the child gets better. What's going to be the halacha, however, if the child wasn't sick, he was just yellow? Is the same halacha apply? So I saw the Sefer Shorim Tzionim Halacha discusses this, and he says that if the child was yellow, but he's no longer yellow, and by doing so, we're going to be able to make the bris on the proper day, on the eighth day, then we should wait for the eighth day. But if we're going to push off the bris anyway, we missed the eighth day, he wants to suggest that we should wait 7 days because the bris is not being made bezmanoi anyway. What happens if the bris was made when the child was yellow? So Ramasha Klein, Zatzal, and the Shal, Sechuvas Mishnah Alochas, Chelik, Tezayin, Simon, I involve Paskins, that even though the bris should not have been made when the child was yellow, if the bris was conducted when the child was yellow, the bris, we don't have to do a Tovastan bris, we don't have to do anything, the bris is considered a completely valid bris. The Knight of Yehuda has an interesting discussion based on around this Gemara. He says that the Gemara, in more than one place in Shas, discusses Mesu Echav Machmas Mila, a child who, Rachman Tzlan, his brothers died because they went through the bris mila, that the halacha is that the third brother should not have a bris mila. When machmir, that the halacha is that we consider it a chazaka after 2 times, and if 2 times a brothers passed away from mila, the way the Mefarshim explained, that's a indication that this child, that this family is suffering from being hemophiliacs, and don't make a bris for the third brother. Here, it's very obvious that they did make a bris for the third brother, they just waited. So how do we reconcile that psak with the Gemaras, the Gemaras in Yevamos, Samach Dalar Mabez, and other places as well? With the psak that our Gemara, which is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerudei Simon Reis Samach Gimel Sif Beis, that as long as we see that the child is now fine, then we can make a bris. So he says that the Rai is our Gemara, because they made the bris as he got older. So he says that only in a situation where we see a child becomes better, we have a reason to believe that we have nothing to be concerned about, can we make a bris mila on the third brother. Otherwise, we can't. So our Gemara is very clear that what we need to wait for is to see that the blood is absorbed back in the body. But what's the halacha, the Paiskim discuss, when we have a child whose brothers passed away because of bris mila, and this child seemingly has the same disease, but Baruch Hashem, he's gotten older. At what point can we make another bris mila based on the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch? It's a very big machlokes amongst the Paiskim. The opinion of Rabbi Akiva Eiger is that you should do it after the child becomes 1 year old. Again, when there's no medical consideration. The opinion of other Paiskim is that we should wait. The Nida Behuda says we should wait until he's 3 years old. Interesting to point out that the Avni Nezer in Yerodei Simen Shin Chav Vav Ois Ches and the Shals Chuvas Eretz Tzvi in Simen Nun Vav are of the opinion that we should wait until the boy becomes bar mitzvah. The Eretz Tzvi explains that we need that the child is not considered that he has a neshama until he becomes bar mitzvah. So only when the child has a neshama, at that point can we be sure that the mitzvah, nothing will happen to him. When he's younger than that, we need to be concerned. The Paiskim also discuss around this Gemara that from here we see that a woman could be a male. Others, however, say that Rashi never says in our Gemara that she herself conducted the bris mila. What it means was that she made sure that the child at a certain point should or shouldn't have the bris mila, but not that she actually did the bris mila herself. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaber, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Reish Samech Dalet Sif Aleph, says, Noshim, Sheris Lomel, women may do a bris mila. However, the Ramah says, Yesh Oimrim, she shaloi tomel, that a woman should not do a bris mila. V'chein noyagim lahadar acharish. Our meaning is to try to make sure that a man should do the bris mila, not the woman. Says the Mishnah, Machitzin es hakotan. They used to be very careful in the time of the Mishnah to wash the child before and after a bris mila. The Mishnah Brura in Simen Shin Lamed Aleph, Sifkotten Lamed Aleph, says the Bizman Azeh, we don't do so. Because nowadays, the washing of a child with hot water before a bris, after a bris, is not absolutely essential. But teaches us the Mishnah, Mechitzin Sakotten, Bein Lifnei Mila, Bein Lachem Mila. We're allowed to do so before the bris and after the bris. Mazafen Lov Biyad, we're allowed to spritz, and the Gemara is going to explain what this means, spritz water avalobically. With our hands, we could spritz water on the child, but not with a keli. Lesben Azari Omer, Mechitzin Sakotten, Biyoy Mashlishi, Shechalis B'Shabbos. The third day after the bris is on Shabbos, we're allowed to wash it, because the third day the child is in danger. Shnemar v'yi b'yom ha'shlishi b'yosim k'yavim. The third day by the story of Shechem. So there's a very big machloikus how to understand the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. The Ramban explains that Rebbe Lezer, when he says the third day, doesn't mean the third day to exclude the first and second day. What it means is that the third day is also a day where the child is weak. Others, however, say that it's specifically the third day. And the raya is from what we find by Shechem. B'yoyim ha'shlishi b'yoyisim koyavim. So the third day, the Pasuk says, they were weakest. So don't we see that the third day is the worst? The Rishayim that say that that's not the way to understand have two ways of understanding why the third day is different. One explanation is that the first day and the second day, the child is actually sicker than he is on the third day. But what you have different on the third day, or unique with the third day, is that the third day already accumulated 3 days of being weak. And since you have this accumulation of so many days where the child has been sick, that's why the third day did the weakest. But in terms of actually being sick, it's not that the third day is when he's sickest. Another pshat that I saw is, why did they wait? It's not that the third day was the day that they were weakest, but why did they wait for the third day? Because as we remember from the parasha, Yaakov Avinu and his sons told Shechem that the entire city has to undergo a bris milah. It's impossible for all the people in such a large city to undergo a bris milah in one day. So some did it on day one, some did it on day two, and some did it on day three. By day three, everybody was weak. Because some people, this was the third day of the bris, and as our Gemara just taught us, or as the Mishnah just taught us, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah teaches us, then the third day after the bris milah, they're still weak. Some, it was the second day, and some was the first day. So that's why they waited for the third day. But not in any way to indicate that it means that on the third day is the day when they are most sick. The Rishonim discuss, as we discussed in our previous year as well, if there was no hot water prepared before the bris, or the water spilled, what do we do? Do we postpone the bris till after Shabbos? Or do we make the bris on Shabbos and heat the water? So Rabban makes a distinction between the hot water which is before the bris and the hot water which is used for after the bris. He says, if there's enough hot water available for the pre-milah bath, we should use that water for the child, perform the bris, and then after the bris, we now have a child that needs hot water, and at that point, we'll have to warm up the hot water. The Baal Amor disagrees with Ramban. He says, if we know, as we're going to make the bris, that we don't have enough hot water to wash the baby with after the bris, then we should postpone the bris. Knowing up front that we're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos for this child is not permitted. And I saw that the Sefer Shorim Tzion Balocha quotes this machloikus, the Ramban and the Ramban, the Baal Amor and the Ramban, and he quotes that it seems that the Paiskim tell us to follow the opinion of the Baal Amor, and if we know up front that we're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, we ought not to be Mechal Shabbos. He then wants to suggest that this machloikus of the Ramban and the Baal Amor is actually connected to a different shaila. The question is, we know that for Chol Shesh B'Sakona, we mentioned it in our shiur today already, we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. The question that the Rishonim discuss, is it Hutra? Is it completely Mutter? And we're allowed to do whatever we need to do on behalf of such a individual? Or is it the Chuyah? We only do what we need to do. And he wants to suggest that according to the Baal Amor, Chil Shabbos for Chol Shesh B'Sakona is only the Chuyah. It's not something that's completely Mutter. And therefore, we have to do whatever we can to avoid the Chil Shabbos. Whereas, the Ramban's opinion is going to be that's Hutra. Since it's Hutra, we could do whatever we need to do on behalf of this child, even though we knew upfront that this will be necessary. Continues the Mishnah. Suffolk. If there's a situation of a suffix or a androgynous, and there's many definitions of what a suffix means. Some say suffix means we don't know the status of the child. Some says we don't know when the child was born. The halacha is if Shabbos is the eighth day, mechal unless for Shabbos, we may not be mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda matter be androgynous. Another explanation that many Rishonim explain when we speak about a suffix is that in those days, they had it was established that a child who was born to 7th month could survive. A child that was born in the 9th month could, Baruch Hashem, certainly survive. However, a child that's born in the 8th month cannot survive. And our Gemara and the Mishnah is talking about if we're not sure if this child was a child that was born in the 7th, 8th, or 9th month. And if he was born in the eighth month, since he's not going to survive, Rechman al-Tzlan, we may not conduct a bris milah on Shabbos. But it's interesting to point out that the Chazon Ish and the Michas Yitzchak, in the Shas Chuvus Michas Yitzchak, Chele Gimel, Simen Kuf Chaf Gimel, all say that what was the Metzias in the time of Chazal, that if a child was born in the eighth month, he could not survive, is no longer a fact. On the contrary, we know that the longer the child waits until he comes out, if 8 month is better than 7th month in the world that we live in. Ask the Gemara. The Mishnah began, Mechitzin Sakotin, that were allowed to wash the child that had a bris milah. And then the Mishnah said that you have to use Mezalfin or Biyad, that you spritz, that you don't wash. Hamet Mechitzin, Hamet Resh Mechitzin. First we say we should do Mechitzin, and then it says Mezalfin, says the Gemara. Rav Yehuda v'Rabbi Ravud Amri Tavayu, the way to understand the Mishnah is Ketzatani. There's no two separate statements in the Mishnah. Rather, the Mishnah is saying, Marchitzin, as a cotton, we're allowed to wash the cotton, to which the Mishnah says, how may that be performed? Marchitzin, as a cotton, the Mishnah is teaching us that you're allowed to wash the child, bein lefnei mila, bein lacha mila, and then continues the Mishnah to say, Ketzad, how may that be done? Mezalfin ala biyad, avalai bekli, we could spritz with our hands the water, we're not the keli. Asks Rava, for machitzin ktani. Our Mishnah explicitly said machitzin. How could you try to explain the Mishnah differently? Ela marava hochitani. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Machitzin sakotin, we'll have to wash the child, bein lefnei mila, bein lacha mila, whether it's before the bris, whether it's after the bris, b'yoyim harishin kedarkoi, on the first day, normally. And if the third day falls on Shabbos, mazafin lavel yad avalei b'kli. If it's the third day already, we could only spritz with the hand and not with a keli. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah oimer machitzin es hakotn b'yom shlishi shchalis b'Shabbos. We could wash the child if the third day is a Shabbos, we could wash the child normally because, as the pasuk says, that the third day the child, who underwent the meal, is still in danger. As the pasuk says, v'hi b'yoyim ha'shlishi b'yoyisim koyavim. Tanya kavatsi d'rava, mechitza ha'kotn bein lefnei mila bein lacha mila, b'yoyim ha'rishin kedarkoi, or b'yoyim ha'shlishi chalias b'shabbos. If it's the third day, mezafon lo b'yad, we only could spritz with our hand. What's going to be the din on the second day? There's a machlokes rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the second day is considered like the first day, and some say the second day is considered like the third day. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Mechitzas HaKotten B'yoyim HaShlishi Shchalis B'Shabbos, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that if the third day is on Shabbos, you're allowed to wash the child normally. V'api she'en ra'i l'dover, zeich l'dover sh'nema, v'yi b'yoyishim, v'yoyim HaShlishi B'yoyisim K'yavim, v'kushem mezalfin, and when we do so, v'yoyim mezalfin le'bekoyis, don't use a cup, nor a plate, not a vessel, el biyad. The question is, why is it only a zeich l'dover? Why isn't it a full-fledged raya? So the Gemara is going to explain. Oslo Tanakama, this is going to Tanakama. My apishen raya l'dover, why is it not a raya? It says beferish, b'yoshim ka'avim. And it says the Gemara Mishnah, the God loy solik bisrahaya. They were adults in the story of Shechem. And adults don't heal that quickly. Av cotton, a child, solik bisrahaya. The child gets better quickly. And since the child heals quickly, there's no reason to be Michal Shabbos with washing with hot water. It says the Gemara, who would also come to Rava? There was a person that came to Rava and asked the question, in what fashion could they wash the child that went through a bris milah? Or like a shmatza, Rava Paskin, according to the way he interpreted the Mishnah, that everybody agrees that on the first day, you're allowed to wash the child normally. Ichlish Rava. And Rava then became sick. Amma, and then he said to himself, Anor b'hadid tergum ha'savol amali. Why did I start disagreeing with the way Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Avu interpret the Mishnah, that they said that even when you were allowed to wash, even on the first day, it should only be done with spritzing, not washing. And I saw that the Sefer Or Chadash says there's a tremendous lesson to be learned from this Gemara. Rava paskind, a shaila. But there were two things we see about Rava. Number one, that even though he had issued a psak, he was constantly re-examining himself if he had paskind correctly. Secondly, when something happened to Rava, Rava got sick. He didn't say it's just a coincidence that I got sick. If unfortunately I got sick, there's a message that's being sent to me. And I have to think, what did I do wrong that because of that I got sick? Amalei Rabbanan. So Rabbanan said to Rava, why are you so stressed? V'tanya kavasei demar. We just quoted a brisa that clearly supports your opinion. Amalei. So he said, masnisin kavasei daika. Even though there's a brisa that supports my opinion, but the wording of the Mishnah seems to support their opinion. Memai. Why did they ask him, do you say this? Because the Mishnah says, mid the kamer of Elazar ben Azariah Omer, the Rilaz ben Azariah says you could wash him on the third day. So he explains, if we're going to say that the Tanakhama Mizalfun Kamar, the Tanakhama only allows sprinkling, now we could understand how the Mishnah says what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says. How in the Kamalei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah tells the Tanakhama, he says, you say sprinkling, I say machitzim, you could wash normally. Eli Amr Tanakama Machitzim B'yom Rishon Kamer. But if the Tanakama agrees that on the first day you could wash normally, and only on the third day, Mezalfim B'yom Shlishi, that's when you could only start with sprinkling, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Amr Machitzim. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is speaking Machitzim, and the Tanakama is speaking about Machitzim. They're only disagreeing when you may do the Machitzim. So Af machitzim boile. So the way Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if that's the way to understand the Mishnah, like the Brisa says, then the way Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah should have spoken in the Mishnah is say af machitzim. You say you could wash on the first day, and I say af machitzim even the third day. The fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion wasn't stated that way in the Mishnah is indicative that the Tanakhama says that you may never wash normally; you may only sprinkle. Says the Gemara Kasser of Dimi, Amr Belazar, Halach Belazar ben Azariah. That's the Halach like Belazar ben Azariah, that even on the third day we could wash. But then when they heard this psak in Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to understand what does that mean. When we're lenient, does it mean you're allowed to wash the entire body? Only the place where the bris milah was made. Amr Humer Abanan. Rav Yaakov Shmei, Mestabra Harchatzus Kal Gufay. My opinion is that you're allowed to wash the entire body. This Agadat Harchatz Mila, if we're going to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah only allows the Makam Amila to be washed, so he asks, Mi Gara Michamel Gamaka, is this worse than putting hot water upon an ordinary wound, which is always permitted? Dama Rav, Eimanim Cham V'Shemen, we don't have to hold back from putting hot water or oil, al gaba maka, on a wound on Shabbos. So if it's just washing that spat, then why would there be a chiddush? Says the Gemara, Maskel of Rav Yosef, isn't there no difference bechem shochem b'Shabbos between water which was heated on Shabbos lechem shochem b'erev Shabbos? Our Mishnah speaking about water that was heated on Shabbos. That's why we have to be more careful. Rav was speaking about water was heated before Shabbos. Maskler Rav Dimi, and who asks Rav Dimi, who says Mahay the Hoch b'Cham Shochem b'Shabbos Pligi? Who says that our Mishnah speaking about water was heated in Shabbos? Maybe our Mishnah also is referring b'Cham Shochem b'Erev Shabbos Pligi only to water that was prepared before Shabbos. Amar Abaya, Anor Boy Dishnilei. I wanted to respond to Rav Dimi. However, v'kodem shanalei Rav Yosef. Before I could say anything, Rav Yosef explained. Our Mishnah said, "Nesha sakana loy." Our Mishnah says we're dealing with a situation of a sakana. Sakana, therefore, means that you could cook it on Shabbos. Et benami kas roven. Amar Abavu, Amar Abelazar. Varmalai Amar Abavu, Amar Abayochanan. Halakha Abelazar ben Azariah. Bei Cham Meshuchim b'Shabbos. Bei Mecham Meshuchim b'Erev Shabbos. Bei Nachachetz Kol Gufoy. Bei Nachachetz Miloy. Any type of, no matter when the water was heated up, whether washing the entire body or just a Makam Mila, because all of these situations are Sakana Hiloy. Gufa. Amar Rav, we just learned. Ein Moinim Chamin v'Shemin. We don't have to hold back from putting hot water or oil. Agaba mak on a wound on Shabbos. V'Shmuel Omer. Shmuel says we don't have to put it directly on the maka. Nice and chutz l'maka. We should put it outside of the wound. V'shoisis v'yarid l'maka and let it roll down onto the wound. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. The Brisa says, ain't nice and shem v'chamin agaba mak agaba moich litan agaba maka b'Shabbos. Not to put oil or hot water on a cloth to put on the Makam Shabbos, and now it seems that you're not allowed to put it directly on the Makkah, like Shmuel said, not like Rav. Answers the Gemara, there is a different consideration. There the consideration is because of Schita. You're putting it on the material, and we have to be concerned about Schita. Tashma, Ein Nosecham Mishem El Gabba Moich, they may not be put on the cloth, Shagabba Makkah B'Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Hasum Nami, the consideration is Schita. However, says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel, the Brisa clearly indicates like Shmuel, Ein Noisacham Hashem and Agaba Maka B'Shabbos, we can't put them directly on the wound, Avol Noisdun Chutz L'Maka, put them outside of the wound, V'Shoisis V'Yorid L'Maka, and then you put it on to the, and then it rolls down. And Rashi says, because then it's not obvious that you're doing it L'Tzayach Refuah. The Rashba goes on to say, when you put it directly on the maka, it's obvious that's being done with tzayuk refuah. But when you do it outside the maka, people will say, I'm doing it because I want to smear myself with oil. And the Beis Yosef says that bezman hazeh, of course we're not talking in a situation of sakana, but says the Beis Yosef that bezman hazeh, where people don't normally smear themselves with oil, even if putting it outside the maka is asur, because it's obvious that's being done l'tzayich refuah. Otherwise, why would you put oil on your body? Tana banan nois nal gabba maka moch yovish. You let it put on a wound a dry cloth or svug yovish or a dry sponge. Avloi gemma yovish, not a dry grass. Avloi ketitim yovishim, not dry coarse rags. Kash ketitim ketitim. One that says that you're allowed to use it, and one place it says not. Answers more loy kashi. Habacharati, new ones you're not allowed to use. Habiyatiki, old ones you're allowed to use. New ones are obvious that it's a refuah. They used to use new rags for refuah. Old ones weren't used for refuah. And therefore says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Shmamina, Hani ketitim, these new cloth rags, masi, cause healing.